This year, we launched an ongoing conversation series on parks and people here in Chattanooga and Hamilton County. The Parkside Podcast is a collaboration with and led by Civic Partners. Brian Smith is with the City of Chattanooga's Parks and Outdoors. Karen Shostak is with Hamilton County's Department of Parks and Recreation. On this episode of Scenic Roots, here's our latest conversation.
And welcome to Parkside, where we explore people, places, and partnerships that make Hamilton County and the City of Chattanooga such a special place to live, work, and play.
From parks and public spaces to the projects shaping our future, this is where those stories come together.
And we are proud to partner with WUTC and Scenic Roots with the support of Ray Bassett, who helps bring these conversations to life. How's it going, Ray?
Going great, Brian and Karen, and I am delighted to welcome our guests today.
Arts are very much a part of the quality of life we share in the region and in our city and county parks. You will see art all along the Riverwalk, to plenty of murals, and let's not forget the amount of performing arts for our communities to enjoy.
And some of those that are behind that are joining us here today. I tell you, the guests just continue to get better and better with every single podcast that we do. Joining us today, we do have Carmen Elliott, as well as Monica Kinsey with the City of Chattanooga's Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy Division. Of course, this even goes beyond the city. We're blessed to have the large amount of public art partnerships and programs and the events that are all across the city, all across the county, and resonate all across the region. So welcome, ladies. Appreciate y'all joining us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We're going to jump right into it here because, Monica, let's start with that big picture here. For those unfamiliar with this division, what is the core mission of ACE, as we like to call it, Chattanooga's Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy, and why are public parks a central canvas for y'all's work?
Well, the Office of Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy was implemented by Mayor Kelly's administration in 2022, in his first term, and it exists to strengthen Chattanooga's economy, identity, and quality of life through strategic investment in the creative sector. The arts are not ornamental, they are civic infrastructure, and the ACE office works to support economic development, tourism, workforce attraction and retention, neighborhood identity, public space activation, and community connection, all in our public spaces.
That's awesome. And Carmen, what's your take on the division?
I totally agree with everything Monica just said. I just really wanted to add a piece about the parks specifically and how they play into the work that we do. Because parks are one of the most democratic public spaces that we have, right? So everyone may not walk into a gallery space or go to the theater and all those things. Well, you'll go to a park. Parks feel accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that Mayor Kelly told me when I asked him what did he want this office to be about, he said accessibility. Mm-hmm. And that meant in every way that you can think about it, whether it be economic, whether it be geographical, mm-hmm. everything doesn't need to be necessarily downtown. We have all mm-hmm. these great parks all throughout our city that we can activate in wonderful ways, and arts and culture is one of the ways that we do that. So that's how the parks tie into the work that we do and all the outdoor spaces do.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just creating these welcoming spaces that happen to be filled with art and culture. So that's super impressive and very exciting that a city would have this kind of initiative to begin with. And so from our perspective at the Hamilton County Parks, we usually view green spaces through the lens of conservation and programming. And of course, Hamilton County has moved more towards the animation here recently in the last few years. When your team looks at parks, how do you see it differently through that creative expression?
I don't think we necessarily see it differently. Yeah. It doesn't really have to be an either or. Recreation, conservation, and creative expression can all exist together and strengthen one another. We already have examples of that. So you think about Main Terrain, which is not just a piece of public artwork, but it's also an interactive art and fitness park, right? Mm-hmm. And then we also have things like in Coolidge Park with our partnership with PlayCore and Harmony yeah. Notes, where sure. it's a test site for one of their latest kind of play creations where people can come and play. So it's this interactive space that is really cool and fun. I don't know how cool it is for Brian to hear the kids always banging outside of his.
It's like, what are those bells ringing? But, you know,
exactly.
It's music to the parks.
Exactly. And then you have things like the Scramble, which is right over by the bridge that is about to open again soon. Woohoo! But the Scramble is more than a piece of public artwork. It is also part of our infrastructure, literally. It mm-hmm. is a water filtration system. So mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be an either or when it comes to arts and culture. It mm-hmm. is part, like Monica said earlier, arts we consider part of our infrastructure. It's not ornamental. It is part of our infrastructure.
And I think that's great. It sounds like you guys are organically connecting, mm-hmm. making it like part of the way of life, truly, mm-hmm. and not just for the visual. It's not just curb appeal, right? This is like a true part of integrated within the parks.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think I'll touch on one other thing too. You talk about an active park and talk about the Riverwalk, and that's something, of course, we joint own and maintain with the county, though. But you started the Chickamauga Dam, and you got the artwork that's identifying the mileage.
Right. The mile markers are all identified. Like, your full miles are identified by the 3D pieces that are by, oh gosh, I just went blank, but by local artists. And then your half mile markers are in the ground. Yeah. And those are also artistic interpretations to mark those milestones as you're going along. And as you mentioned, we do have a share budget. So our budget is shared with county and city. It's not just city or county. Mm-hmm. We get funding from both in order to make sure the public art pieces are maintained and go up and are lovely for everyone to enjoy.
And I'm notorious for injecting my opinions on things. It's fine because I can. But I will say that because you're into those kinds of details, into those mile markers, half mile markers, it does, in my opinion, level up a city. It's the polish and the details, the devil's in the details. So it sounds like you're proving that with what you're working on.
It's an elevated experience.
Exactly.
You know? Some folks are not aware how the arts are informing their daily lives. Mm-hmm. You know,
when people hear creative economy, they might see public art as a luxury rather than a necessity. How do outdoor installations and performances actually drive tangible economic growth and job creation for our city?
The creative economy is real economy, right?
The AEP report was $191 million,
which is more than sports.
Over 3,000 jobs.
Yeah, and over 3,000 jobs for our city. So it's definitely a real economy. And it shows that, because a lot of people just think of the creatives themselves, but you don't think about all the industries that help to support those creatives. So when we have a 3D piece that goes up, which is a statue, then we're also working with fabricators and welders and concrete companies. And so there's so, and engineers. So there are so many industries that are touched by this creative economy. So I want people to think outside of just, oh, it's just an artist getting paid to sing or to paint something pretty. No, they are also taking those funds that they get from the work that they're doing and reinvesting them right back into the city that we all live, work, and play in.
And I'd like to just add that art is business.
Very much so.
It's very much business. And so it is not a luxury. It is business, but it is also, we are fortunate to have as much art as we do and creators in our city.
And I want to add one other thing. Think about it. When VW decided to come to Chattanooga and they made the announcement, where did they make that announcement at? It was at the Hunter Museum, because that was the deciding factor for them to come to Chattanooga. So again, arts are business. The creative economy is a real economy, and we need people to understand that and to pay our artists fairly.
Correct.
So we do talk about the public art here too, but also with our creative economy and the economic boom here between the music. I mean, some of the bluegrass festivals and some of the big things that have come to Chattanooga. We've got Now Music out of Hamilton County and Chester Frost. I mean, that's big business here too, and we're glad to have that here in Chattanooga, right?
It is. It is indeed. We have a wealth of talent in our musical performances here, and we also create opportunities for our music performances by hosting like Noon Tunes in Miller Park during September. We do Fireside out at Greenway Farms. We try to touch on different districts and different neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We do have 84 parks and over 134 miles of Greenway that we like to activate, not only to see people out there using it, but also enjoying the art along the way. So, yeah, I mean, the musicians, we like to, we have a busking program to which Carmen will speak on Amplify Chat Asphalt Sages.
The economic footprint definitely crosses city and county lines. I've been to a few of the Chattanooga Music Council meetings, which I find fascinating. And I know that there's some potential there for it to turn into what some other cities are implementing when it comes to music offices. So tell us a little bit about what it's already accomplished and what's on the horizon for the Chattanooga Music Council. The meetings I've been in, a lot of smart people are in that room.
Yeah.
And so it's ultra uber creative space when those folks come together.
It is. And so Karen's referring to our Chattanooga Music Council, which is a group of not just musicians, but it's also everyone in that music ecosystem. So it's venue owners, it's production companies, all coming together to talk about the things that impact them in their daily lives and what can the city do to help make things better or help assist. One of the easiest ones that came up was around parking. And Monica instantly looked into it. And so we're working through that. But also the connections that are made is, for me, probably the biggest asset when we're talking about the Chattanooga Music Council. Great example. We had someone, one of the music council members, we always allow at the end of the meeting for everyone to share what they have going on, what do they want to connect on. And one of them brought up Hip Hop Cha. Mm-hmm. And as he was talking about it, there was a venue owner in the room and instantly said, hey, we need to talk. We need to have a conversation. And so they've had that conversation. So now we have a collaboration happening there, right? Mm-hmm. That would not have happened outside of that room, because those two people more than likely would not have met. So for me, that's the biggest asset when we're talking about Chattanooga Music Council. But we're also bringing great resources. We just had RIAA here to talk about AI and how it's going to impact the industry. It was an amazing talk, a lot of very informative, a lot of interaction.
It was a really good talk.
But I think it gave them some thoughts behind how do I protect my intellectual property and what can I do to advocate. So it was a great meeting to speak to advocating for yourself, advocating for fellow creatives, but also what is the industry doing from a government and a federal level to try and fight back against the theft that is happening through these kind of AI creations.
And is that what's in the horizon for the Chattanooga Music Council, is to continue to support musicians from a business, like we talked about music, just like art?
From an industry level.
Yes. And so that's super exciting to hear. And so are there plans for some resources outside of, because you guys are the city, you have, they're asking
have
you
work.
For, you guys have, well, yeah, I know you got parking. You can talk about parking.
So that was more regarding like their load-in issues for their bands,
right,
making sure that they have actual parking and how we can help them on
which
that.
Which people take definitely for granted that an artist needs to unload some gear and that shouldn't be a mile away. So
correct.
I totally respect
that. We also talk about policy change, like for busking, working on the busking ordinance. So we're looking at the different ways, but we do support artists and we do have some resources. We have stages. We put on, like, again, opportunities for performances that we always bring out. We have an artist roster as well. And so we talk about the ways of the industry and how they are used differently. So for instance, Carmen has been working diligently on this film permit, and there's also tie-ins to the music industry for that as well, for soundtracks. Sure. But to her point, just getting the community to talk and share with each other and to collaborate is huge, because there has been silos and they felt
without
not being supported.
Without somebody throwing a shoe, right?
Correct. Yeah. And, you know, and they're having great conversations and experiences together, and it's been a great turnout.
That's great. That's great news.
All right, so I'm going to kind of switch gears because, Carmen, you mentioned earlier about maintenance, and we love the new stuff. Love it, and it's great, and we got to continue to do that. But we've got, what, a couple hundred pieces all across
close
the city?
To 200.
And, you know, we have to maintain those, and we do a great job doing that. But you mentioned we share that with the county, but how does that look? Because I know these things are outside.
Yeah.
They get weathered, you know, and people are want to continue to see these in their respectable and beautiful ways.
So first, shout out to Austin Center, who is our public art maintenance person. He is amazing. He came into the role about 3 years ago. But at that point, the collection as a whole had been neglected for around 16 years. So it had minor kind of maintenance, but not like a real assessment of the pieces and figuring out, okay, what do we attack and how and when to get everything back up to par. And so he's done an amazing job at that. But a lot of people just don't think about that. Yes, you have these pieces, but we also need to think through maintaining them throughout the year. So now for new pieces, we think through the materials that are being used. Austin is part of that conversation, so we can make sure that not only are we keeping this beautiful for a long time, but we're also not creating a problem sooner than we need to.
Sure.
So it's like, instead of using wood A, we're going to use wood B, or this type of paint, we'll use this type or that type of paint, those types of things. But it is one of the most important parts of the work that the Public Art Chattanooga does, but it's the most least visible. So a lot of people don't realize it's happening. And we also use a lot of local contractors and a lot of local artists to do that work. And I don't think people understand that either. So like, maintenance is not just us going and doing some power washing, which shout out to our park maintenance and public works departments who help us a lot with a lot with our maintenance. But it's also having to do a whole new, like, take it all the way down to the nuts and bolts and repaint and re-weld and change out the pads. So it's a lot to it that requires a lot of hands, and Austin does an amazing job balancing all of it,
which is part of that polish and those details that we talked about just a second ago, because it doesn't just stop with the ribbon cutting.
And
I'm going to ask you about the diversity in our community. What's the process for identifying what pieces go into what parks and places and spaces that are relevant. That's part one. And part two, I want to ask, like we said, it doesn't stop with the ribbon cutting. It also, the maintenance and the polish and the relevancy continue. But then how do we tell the story of the artwork? So I asked a lot in one question. And so I'm sorry, but I want to know
all the elephant
these.
A bite at a time. So we'll start with the first part. So that's actually your first question is one of my favorite questions because a lot of people don't understand the process. The first thing I always like to explain is we do not make that decision. No one in the Office of Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy decides who the artist is for public art pieces that happen in our city. It is a community engagement process that we go through for that. But how do we even get there? So in theory, we are supposed to get 2% of any above ground capital project, new capital project that happens in the city of Chattanooga. 2% is supposed to be designated to public art. So then we take that 2%. So let's say like with One West Side, okay, we have a bucket of money to work with. And then we do community engagement. So we work with public art strategists, or art strategists is what we call them, to go in the community and ask them, what is it that you want to see in your neighborhood? Because you have to live with this and you have to love it. And we want you to love it. And we want it to represent you and represent your community and your neighborhood. So we work with the public art strategist, which is often a creative themselves, to go into the neighborhood, have those conversations. So we'll have multiple meetings around that, multiple opportunities for the community to engage. And then we get community stakeholders. So there's often either, if it's like a neighborhood, then there's people who live in the neighborhood, business owners in the neighborhood, sometimes a city council person, a public art commission person will be on that committee to help actually select the artist and the artwork. So it is a community-led and driven process.
Which I think everybody in the community has taken that for granted, because it sounds like in order to get there, everyone got to be involved and have a voice in that process.
Yes, so that's very much so.
Amazing. And so the second part of that question is, once all that work is done, because I know that that's just 5 minutes, right? That's one meeting? No.
It's not. Work at the speed of government.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that once you guys have gone through that very fair, first of all, and creative process, how do you then say, okay, now this is how we tell the story of this art piece? I say that because things have names on them. These monuments have names. And so, like we talk about the Fireman's Fountain outside of our county courthouse office and the story, that's generated a lot of interest, but also respect for the history of it. So how do you tell the story once an art piece is implemented?
So we don't tell the artist what to create. We don't tell the artist what to name the piece. We give them context. And the artist is also part of that community engagement. So they understand once the artist is hired, there's additional community engagement often that happens where they also have conversations with the community and meet with the community to get an understanding of what needs to happen in that space.
Right.
So we're not saying, okay, because you brought up the fireman, this is the easy one. So we're not saying, well, it's a fireman's it needs to be a fireman's fountain, we would just say, well, this is a tribute to firemen, and what do you come up with? And it might be a fountain, it might be a sculpture, it might be a mural. So there are multiple ways that that might come to fruition, but we don't say this is what it has to be and this is what it has to, for most parts. Now, there are some situations where if it's a building, then we know it's a mural.
Right.
But
sure.
I'm saying, but if it's just like a wide open situation, then we kind of leave it up to the artist. But even if it's a building and we know it's a mural, it's up to the artist to determine what does that mural look like. We don't say, we want a bird and three trees and We don't do that. It's up to the artist to totally create, and then they give it back to that committee, and the committee votes on the final design.
And we're currently going through that process with Westside.
Yes, we are. We are. It's going to be fun.
So I have to ask this in relation to the public art that's out there. Monica, you do deal with a lot of music, same with you, Karen, here, so you both might be able to answer this, but how do you decide those artists and decide in different areas that we're going to choose this band or choose that band, and especially on the local side?
So we do a call for artists in the same fashion, and then we have a ranking committee that goes through and ranks them, basically, and they have to be the right fit for the right event in the community, but we have a committee that ranks them.
Similar process. It's more internal on our side because the county is just now moving into this direction, and so we're excited to see where it takes us, and we're also pacing ourselves because as these things grow, we need to have our staff and our partnerships grow with it. So yeah, the city's been actively promoting and producing and supporting music for a long time. And so in over many administrations. And so I'm excited to see that the venues are keeping up with it. And there's quite a bit in the horizon for Chattanooga. I mean, if I was looking from the outside, I would just be amazed. And I know because I've had conversations with folks about the "I wish I had that in my city" has come up a lot. You know, we just met with some folks from Bristol, mm-hmm. along with River City, and their questions were more compliments than anything yeah. else. And I will say this, one of the things that came out of that meeting with Bristol, and it's Bristol, which is the country music capital of the country.
Home. Birthplace.
Yeah. Yes. And they asked, when do I think of Bristol? What do I think of? And I said, Gracing. Sorry. but I didn't know that it was the country music capital of the world. Yes. And one of the things that I took away from that meeting was Chattanooga does it in Hamilton County. We do a great job of telling our story. That was like a huge compliment. For example, they see things like the Franklin Roberts Future Ready School, which is bringing back trade schools to mm-hmm. the community. Everything from that to these art programs. And then, of course, what's in the horizon with potential venues, additional large scale venues. I think people are looking at Chattanooga and Hamilton County as, how do I get some of that?
Oh, yeah. Our city is very ripe right now for that. And then, you know, and I think, too, to be clear, is that we have artist rosters that we send out to folks when they're seeking music. But we are very intentional on booking different genres mm-hmm. and different communities, because Chattanooga is not one single genre, mm-hmm. you know. So we're very intentional of all the representation. And we also are intentional and have a city policy of paying artists fair wages. So that is something that we can't stress enough and that we want to push out and any of our partners to do the same.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'm excited to hear you, obviously not just that you're doing that, but encouraging others to follow suit, because mm-hmm. that's how we will retain
yep.
that top quality, but also help support the emerging.
Correct.
You know what I mean? So there's just so much in what we're talking about right now.
So we're talking music, we're talking stages. Let's talk about some of the events that we have coming up here, because June is a big month. We're already mm-hmm. halfway through June here, and then following that's July. We've already talked about all the great things surrounding 250 with the county, the city, and beyond here. But one thing is that y'all just started here and unveiled is Amplify Chat. Those stages, how is that being used here in the city?
Yeah, so Amplify Chat is such an exciting project because it really reflects our belief that public space can also be creative space. Mm-hmm. So through this initiative, we're transforming areas through downtown into artistic stages and gathering spaces that support live performance, community activity, and creative expression. The stages themselves are artist design installations, which if you have not seen them yet, they are amazing. But they're also meant to be living, acting spaces for community use. So like you mentioned, the unveiling that we just had. So when we did that, we had dancers at one stage, we had musicians at other stages. We look for it to be just a true, amazing gathering spot for people to be able to busk in all types of different creative mm-hmm. ways. Sometimes it will be things that are actually done and kind of facilitated through the city or through River City, who is also an amazing partner. And then sometimes we will encourage people just to utilize the space as a busking space, like, mm-hmm. you know, so we're really excited about that.
And be safe.
Right? Yes, yeah. And be safe. Yes. And they're beautiful murals. And we want folks to organically use them,
yes.
right? Not just for our programming, but our River City's programming, but we want them to create their own programming yes. in these spaces and them to be available.
And right on the heels of that, we have Culture on 4 on June 27th. Can you give our listeners a preview of what that event looks like and how it celebrates Chattanooga's cultural diversity?
Yes. So Culture on 4 is a conversation series we host in partnership with the Chattanooga Downtown Public Library. They have been an amazing partner for this program, but it gives people an opportunity to hear directly from creatives and cultural leaders and artists in a more personal and reflective setting. And on June 27th, we will have Grammy-nominated producer and musician Avery Johnson in conversation with our fantastic city employee, Eric Foster. So we're really, really excited about that. So he's going to talk about
Eric,
his...
Does anybody like Eric? I mean, I think everybody loves him.
I will send, you know, we're going at E here a little bit, but I will always call him and he's like, "Hey, Brian, what's up?"
That was way too good of an impression.
It really was a good impression of E. But yeah, I'm just really excited because it gives Chattanooga a chance and Chattanooga's creative community to really interact with people who are at the top of their game, who have been in it for a while. We've had everything from makeup artists to poets, just a really, really kind of vast array of people who have agreed to do this series for us. So we're really blessed and thankful to have Avery come in for that June 27th event. And it is free and open to the public.
And that is part of our professional development for the yep. creative sector, bringing in those different types of creatives. You've also had photography. It's been a wide array.
All
the different mediums.
Literally every medium.
And beyond events, you've also been driving major permanent infrastructure. A great example, which I've had the chance to see is a new collaboration at the Lookout's new stadium at Erlanger Park, featuring those incredible entry gates by Tommy Bronx. I had a chance to speak with him right there by those gates. How did that partnership between the city, the Lookouts, and the Riverwalk all come together?
Well, the stadium is a major public corridor, you know, so it's not just a sports stadium. It is actually public infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So the city was naturally involved in that. The city made an investment in that. And so that's where the public art piece came in. That 2% that I talked about earlier was set aside for some sort of public art investment in the space. And Kate, another shout out, Kate Kearney, our amazing public art manager, said, well, what about the gates? And we were like, what about them? She was like, well, what about if they are the public art piece? And so, and what's really great is when public art is brought in at the beginning of these projects, which Kate really pushes for that to happen, not again, because art is not ornamental, it's infrastructure. So when it's brought in at the beginning, you can think that way. You can say, what about the gates before the gates are installed? So if the gates are already installed and you have to take them down, then that's a huge expense, right? But if you're brought in from the beginning, then you can say, well, let's look at a creative way that we can do these gates. So we were able to utilize some existing funds that were already happening that would have to take place anyway with the stadium being built. You have to have those gates, but also use it for the artistic piece. So it really just came together beautifully, and using local artist Tommy Bronx was just kind of the cherry on top.
And he worked with the local fabricators, I think Thoroughbred LLC as well. So it is a partnership with existing entities that are helping. They were already going to be building those gates, but why not, to her point, why not bring in the artists and make them even more special?
And all of that comes back to how this drives the economy.
It does.
How this creates business right here in Chattanooga in Hamilton County. Those laser-cut steel gates are stunning. They perfectly blend sports, art, and the Riverwalk. How does a high-profile project like Erlanger Park set a new standard for integrating public art into future developments across the region? We already had a bar, and this has raised it and then some.
I don't know if I would say it's a new standard as much so as I would say it's continuing the legacy, to your point. Public Art Chattanooga was born out of that 21st century waterfront plan. And two of the major pieces that came out of that, which is Luminous Light Mass, which is no longer up on the Riverwalk because of some structural issues. But Luminous Light Mass and The Passage. Luminous Light Mass has won awards. I mean, it was an award-winning piece that was on the riverfront. And The Passage continues to help tell the story of the indigenous people who were once here in a very beautiful way. It's a piece that a lot of people enjoy because they go and use the water and all that great stuff when the water is on. So I don't know if I would say it's setting a new standard, but it's continuing the bar that's already been set, which is extremely high.
I would just add, I echo her points exactly, but I think having those gates on that park, having 7,500 to 8,000 people walk through their gates daily, is a very good way for more folks to have accessibility to the arts, but also the awareness of how the arts can be built into the infrastructure. They're going there for a ball game, but now they're walking through those gates and taking their pictures of those gates and really highlighting that, and that's just an added feature. And as Rich Mozingo stated, public art works, it makes things great.
I mean, I think as citizens and residents too, when you see that gates have turned into a public art piece, I say this a lot, look where we live. You look around and you see the through line is that things are polished. There's concern and care about the details.
There's intention.
There's intention. Mm-hmm. And then we've talked about this in the last podcast too with Senator Corker and Mitch Patel, that art is an experience and experiences are what folks are following and they want to be a part of. I think people are recognizing, they don't know, I think in some cases, like you, to your point about it's part of the infrastructure, but they, I think from a non-artistic lens, it's like, oh, look how nice those gates are. It's so nice that they applied art to it at the same time.
And I want to just a quick shout out to Bob Corker, because it's because of him that we have such an amazing public art collection.
Correct.
He invested that. He decided that initial investment was necessary. So that kind of kicked off Public Art Chattanooga. And of course, Mitch Patel and his amazing local art collection that is in the Edney.
I will tell you.
I'm sorry, the Edwin.
Yeah, no, I was with you on that. We were together on it. But I'll tell you this. I mean, I've known Mitch for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I worked with him and opened this third hotel, what seems like a lifetime ago, honestly. But I've watched his progress, and I can tell you just from my observation and knowing him and his family, the Hiltons are business, right? In my opinion, the Edwin was a personal art piece that he, it is an autograph or a signature hotel, which means that there is not another one like that in the world, right? And that is unique to Chattanooga, unique to Hamilton County. I mean, he's a civil engineer by trade, which my father was an engineer, but my dad was not the artistic lens that Mitch is. Plus, he's a developer. So it's really amazing to see that happen, which brings me to my next question, which is, we kind of touched on it a little bit, but if you guys had a magic wand and ruled the world, right? Which, let's just pretend
we don't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's the next 10 years look like when it comes to this arts and culture and the creative economy?
And then I'm going to add another part of that element. We have a lot of nature in our town, too. Yeah. So how do we incorporate even more nature into the art scene as well?
Chattanooga has an incredible natural landscape. We all know that. We get best outdoor, this and that all the time. Shout out to Parks and Outdoors and Hamilton County Parks and all the great people who keep that vibe going. But the opportunity now is to continue building a cultural landscape to complement that natural landscape. So I would love to see a future where creativity is woven into that landscape, very similar to how we approach the new Erlanger Ballpark. I would love to see where every thought is, how does the creative fit into this landscape? And it doesn't always have to be visual. Where are opportunities when we think about the new riverfront and those new plans, and they're creating these spaces where people can gather and storytell and gather and do poetry and gather in all kinds of other ways that are not necessarily your visual arts, but also ways that performing artists can come together and not have to be this formalize, go through, apply for a permit, but just ways that people can gather more organically and creating spaces that encourage that type of gathering is a city that I would love to see.
I agree. I would also like to see more art in our school systems. I think that is how you get to this cultural landscape as well, as having more arts offered in our school system. And also, I'd like to see investment in more arts and culture hubs for creators, for them to have, because a lot of what we hear a lot is we don't have rehearsal space, studio space. There's a missing link there for these creators to find space to create. And I think I would like to see more investment in that, too, because
that
we have the wealth of talent.
And leaning into that, I would love to see just a large scale arts and culture performing and visual arts center that has studio spaces and all that kind of cool stuff.
Yes.
All right. So to wrap this up here, one last kind of quick question. We have a lot of artists that are listening today. We've got a lot of artists that are all across the city of Chattanooga here and all across Hamilton County here. If there's an artist out there that wants to pitch that idea to transform a public space, what's the best way to connect with your team and get that process started?
Not to brag, but I feel like we're one of the most accessible teams out there when it comes to this, because people are always reaching out. But
we out there.
Yeah, we are definitely out there. But they can, you know, follow us online on social media. They can go to the city's website, Chattanooga.gov, but also email us directly. I'm cdavis@Chattanooga.gov.
I'm mkenzie@Chattanooga.gov. Follow us at Creative Economy CHA on Instagram and the Office of Arts, Culture, and Creative Economy on Facebook.
Well, folks, we just want to thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. I think the community has learned a lot today about what's available and the things that we're doing together from a city, county, and just general community perspective, which is super impressive. And all the other cities out there, sorry you're jealous, but we're awesome. But again, I want to thank you guys. Of course, thank you, Ray,
for giving us this platform.
Thank you, Ray. And so get outside, enjoy our parks, experience all of this art that we just discussed. And until next time,
we'll see you parkside.
Catch all our conversations on Scenic Routes at our website, wutc.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts.